हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ओम् शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः. तैत्तिरीयभाष्यम् डे बिफोर् वि स्टार्टेड् अण्ड् वि हव् कवर्ड् दि first three benedictory verses of Adishankara Bhagavatpada before he started his commentary, the written by him before he had his commentary. Then we just read the first line of the Bhashyam. So we understood the karmani prescribed in the Karma Kanda. All activities can be divided into three types of karma. They are nitya ramittika karmani. They are enjoined, compulsory, prescribed duties. Then patishiddha karmani, prohibited actions which should be avoided strictly. Then kamya karmani, which can be performed, which we have choice. The karma karmani are performed for fulfillment of specific desires. And also understood the non-performance of nitya-nimittika karmani will result in accumulating papam known as pratyavaya doshaha. And the performance of patishiddha karmani also will contribute for accumulation of papam. Whereas performance of kamya karmani will result in accumulating, of course, apart from the fulfillment of desire, punyam also can be earned by performing kamya karmani. These of karmani are there, we saw yesterday. And I also introduced the two views of Purvimamsakas. Before I go there, I wanted to say another important thing we need to understand the Sambandha Bhashyam is that we need to understand the text Veda itself. The entire Veda Shastram, even though Vedaha means body of knowledge, the Veda consists of innumerable countless mantras. And all those mantras were already there in the very atmosphere. And rishis who have sensitized adequately and who are highly disciplined minded, and though they were able to receive those mantras. So these mantras revealed to the rishis, and the rishis are known as mantra dashtaraha. The rishis are known as mantra drashtaraha. Rishihi means seer. Another word for rishihi is mantra drashta. The one who got the mantras revealed to him is known as mantra drashta. It's a rukaranta shabdha, therefore in plural mantra drashtaraha. Rishayaha or mantra drashtaraha. Rishihi or mantra drashta. And so these mantras which were revealed to the rishis later on were classified, compiled into four as Rigvedaha, Yajurvedaha, Samavedaha, Atharvanavedaha by Vyasa Bhagavan. So Vyasacharyaha, Vyasa Bhagavan, later on, much later, because Veda itself is always believed to be a perennially eternal scripture. Kalatitam Shastram. Kalatitam Shastram means Veda Shastram is a timeless scripture, perennially eternal scripture. That we will be understanding in the process of listening to these classes. Therefore, only when Vyasa Bhagavan, all the mantras were classified, compiled into four groups as Rigvedaha, Yajurvedaha, Samavedaha, and Yatharvanavedaha. And these Vedas consist of three parts we know very well: Karma Kandaha, Upasana Kandaha, Jnana Kandaha. And Karma, Upasana Kandas together are taken as one Karma Shastram, and Jnana Kandaha is taken as Moksha Shastram. So the one Vedaha consists of two Shastrams. It's very important to understand, even though Veda is one whole text, complete text consisting of two Shastrams, two disciplines. And how do we know that? Always a given Shastram, a given discipline should be understood based on four factors. Any textbook consisting of any given discipline, belonging to any given discipline, should be understood based on four factors. They are together known as Anubandha Chatushtayam. See, all this information is very important to understand the Sambandha Bhashya. Anubandha Chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means a set of four. Chatvari means four. Chatushtayam means a set of four. Like how Ekam, one. Dvayam, a set of two. Trayam, a set of three. Panchakam, a set of five. Like that, Chatushtayam, a set of four. Dvayam, Trayam, Chatushtayam, Panchakam, Shatkam, like that. Ashtakam, Dashakam, Navakam, like that. So here, Chatushtayam means a set of four. So there is a set of four factors known as Anubandha Chatushtayam, based on which we can understand text belonging to any given discipline. And Veda Shastram also consists of two Shastrams, two disciplines, means the Anubandha Chatushtayam we have to see. The first factor is Vishayaha. Vishayaha means subject matter, the content of the text. The second factor is Adhikari. Adhikari literally means one who is eligible or qualified. The person for intending whom the subject matter is presented, he is called Adhikari. And the third factor is Sambandha. Sambandha means the connection or the relationship between the subject matter, the words and the meaning, the text and the content. The text and the content is known as Pratipadaka Pratipadya Sambandha, revealer, revealed connection. And the fourth factor is Prayojanam or Phalam, the benefit of the knowledge attained through the study of the text. It's called Prayojanam. So Vishayaha, Adhikari, Sambandha, Prayojanam or Phalam. So these are the four factors involved in any text of any discipline. And in the Veda Shastram is one textbook but consisting of two different Shastrams, two different disciplines. How do we say two different disciplines, two different Shastrams? because the Anubandha Chatushtayam differs. There's difference in Anubandha Chatushtayam. The subject matter of the Karma Kandaha is knowledge of all forms of rituals and meditations. Know-how of rituals. Therefore, Dvaitam is the subject matter. Duality, performance of rituals involves duality. Dvaitam based subject matter. Whereas, the subject matter of the Jnana Kandaha is Jiva Jagad Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. The knowledge of the oneness of the truth of the individual, the total and the Lord. And where Advaitam is established. Non-duality Advaitam forms subject matter of the Jnana Kandaha. Whereas Dvaitam becomes subject matter of the Karma Kandaha. Here Karma is retained. And Kartrutvam, the doership is very much retained. Whereas in Jnana Kandaha, Kartrutvam is negated. This is how the subject matter differs between the two Shastras. Similarly, the Adhikari Bedaha is also there. There is also a difference of Adhikaris of Karma Kanda and Jnana Kandaha. The Adhikari of Karma Kandaha is Ragi. Ragi means the passionate person. The one who has passion for, one who is highly passionate towards Artha Kama Dharmas. Artha Kama Dharmas, one who is interested, that's why I can say briefly, one who has great passion for Artha Kama Dharmas is the highly passionate person. Ragi is Ragaha Yasya Asti Saha Ragi. Ragi is the Adhikari for Karma Kandaha. Whereas Jnana Kanda Adhikari is Viragi. Viragi means the one from whose Ragaha has gone. The one from whom attachment has gone is called Viragi. Ragaha, Vigataha, Ragaha, Yasmat, Saha Viragi. Viragi is another word for Vairagyavan. The dispassionate person is the Adhikari of Jnana Kandaha. You know, Ragi is also a grain. Here, Ragi means a passionate person. So, Karma Kanda Adhikari is Ragi, highly passionate, whereas Viragi is highly dispassionate. The Viragi is the one who has dispassion towards Artha Kama Dharmas because of his passion for knowledge of the truth. It is the passion for knowledge enables a person discover dispassion towards Artha Kama Dharmas because of the Vivekaha. Clear understanding of the limitations of Artha Kama Dharmas. So this is the difference between the Adhikari of Karma Kanda and Jnana Kandaha. Sambandha, if you say, the words of the karma kanda have connection only with the karmas. The words of the jnana kanda have connection only with the knowledge. That we will elaborately discuss later on. So there is bhedaha, there is difference. You can say it's almost like a subject, difference in subject matter. So sambandha and subject matter, we can almost, they're very close. So there is difference in subject matter, difference in adhikari. Now the fourth palam, if we say, the benefit, prayojanam or palam of karma kandaha. Karma kanda jnanam, knowledge of the subject matter of karma kanda, has to be implemented in the form of performance of actions or rituals to gain the result, to enjoy the result. Knowledge has to be implemented for the enjoyment of the benefit. And even that benefit enjoyable through the performance of activities or rituals, using that knowledge will be definitely artha kama dharmas only. They will be time bound results. Karma kanda result, benefit of karma kanda jnanam will be time bound result. Whereas the knowledge of the jnana kandaha does not require any further action. Knowledge itself is mokshaha. Knowledge need not be, cannot be implemented in anything, because knowledge itself is freedom. Again, the knowledge of karma kandaha blesses one with freedom, which is permanent. Freedom, mokshaha, fullness, happiness happens to be one's own swarupam. The knowledge is only nothing but discovery of one's own swarupam, therefore, which does not come and go, which is permanent. So there is a difference in prayojanam also. Karma kanda jnanam can bless one only with the time bound results, whereas jnana kanda phalam is timeless, permanent freedom. This is how the anubandha chatushtaya bhedaha is there. This difference between anubandha chatushtayam being there, acharyas make it very clear. Veda shastram, the entire shruti is mata, one complete text, but still consisting of two different shastrams. And the difference is understood based on the difference in anubandha chatushtayam. And again, difference is there. It is very important to understand. And also, the jnanam also, the person who wants to accomplish jnanam must be qualified. Even though there's difference in between these two subject matters of the jnana kanda and karma kanda, karma kanda is not ignored, undermined, underestimated as something useless at all. Shankara Bhagavatpada always emphasizes karma kanda is also important, jnana kanda also is important. Performance of rituals, prayer, worship, values, disciplines, other mundane activities, kamya karmani, all of them are very important. Because only karma kanda alone, or performance of activities alone, can help one become mentally sensitized and refined. This knowledge is dependent on moksha is jnanam, in the form of knowledge. Moksha, the ultimate goal, happens to be in the form of knowledge only. Knowledge is dependent on highly subtle and refined mind, because mind should have this contemplative disposition, and for that specific disposition required for the rising of the knowledge and the dwelling upon the teaching and assimilation of the teaching is dependent on a very specific disposition. And that mental disposition involves mental purity and steadiness, for which definitely one has to work. And to have that qualification required for jnanam, one has to go through the karma kandaha. Karma alone gradually will help one prepare one's mind for jnanam. Antahkarana shuddhi and antahkarana naishchalyam will not be possible unless one goes through this life of karma yoga. So that's very strictly said, even avoiding the patishuddha karmas, performing nityamittika karmani consciously, attentively, even performing the kamya karmani also in conformity with the dharma, having this purushartha nischaya, when a person lives a life of dharma, worshipfully, prayerfully, in due course of time, the karma will contribute, apart from producing the punyam, the karma will also contribute for antahkarna shuddhi and naischalyam. Then the karma is known as karma yogaha, a preparatory discipline. The karma converted into yoga, a preparatory discipline, because of the proper entertainment of proper attitude in everything, alone is said to be a worship also. Karma becomes worship also. So, karma is not really said to be useless. Karma is very important. And because one day when a person lives a life karma yoga, performing all this nityamittika karmani carefully, avoiding the patishuddha karmas, even fulfilling one's desires, also performing kamya karmani carefully in conformity with the values. So in due course of time, a person becomes qualified with fourfold disqualifications. Sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi is possible. The sadhana chatushtayam, chatvari sadhanani, the four qualifications are looked upon as wealth in the shastra. Because the greatest wealth is discovery of moksha, is the greatest incomparable wealth in a human life. And that wealth of moksha can be discovered only or discovered through the knowledge. And therefore knowledge is the greatest wealth. Wisdom, self-knowledge is the greatest wealth, which is wisdom. And the wealth of wisdom is accomplishable only if a person has mental adequate maturity, adequately pure and steady. Certain degree of sensitivity is important on the part of the mind. Mind must become refined and sensitized. For that, these qualifications are important. Therefore, these qualifications, but for which jnanam is not possible, are also looked upon as wealth. In Pujya Swamiji's language, it's a buying power of knowledge. Knowledge is the buying power of moksha. And these fourfold qualifications are the buying power of jnanam. So, sampat, sadhana chatushtaya sampat, a set of fourfold qualification. we know very well, Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha is very important for one to be convinced of the fact that permanent alone can give me permanent moksha. An impermanent, ephemeral thing cannot give me eternal end. Eternal moksha cannot be accomplished through ephemeral, accomplished with the help of ephemeral, anything ephemeral. Therefore, one must have the Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha, discriminative understanding of the eternal and the ephemeral. Once this Vivekaha is there, naturally, this Viveka is, this discriminative understanding will contribute for Vairagyam. Vairagyam is a noun form, neuter noun. Viragaha is masculine noun. Viraktihi is feminine noun. Viraktihi, Viragaha, Vairagyam. All the three words mean the same. Unfortunately, the word viraktihi in Tamil language is used in a negative sense. Viraktihi means edo, frustration. So it should not be mistaken for frustration. Viraktiya pesarar. Viraktihi, as actually said, viraktihi is a feminine gender noun. That's all. Viraktihi, vairagyam, viragaha is expression of one's maturity. Shastram really praises Vairagyam like anything. A person is highly mature person alone can become dispassionate. In fact, the whole life should help one to discover dispassion, Vairagyam. Mundaka Upanishad makes it very clear that living a life of dharma, living a worshipful life, prayerful life, righteous life, ethical life, performing all the enjoyment of pleasures, accomplishment of arthakamas, all this ultimately should culminate in the discovery of dispassion. Only then the life becomes a meaningful life. Life has served its purpose. Vairagyam one has to discover. Vairagyam is there. Jnanam will be easy. Then moksha will be very easy. Attainment of jnanam and moksha will be very easy if vairagyam is there. But discovering vairagyam is not an easy joke. So, only if a person has vivekaha, very clear discriminative understanding of the permanent alone can give me permanent happiness. Everything in this world is impermanent. Impermanent cannot help me attain the permanent. This Nitya Anitya Vastu Vekaha alone will help one discover dispassion, vairagyam. Towards dispassion, towards not only the ends accomplishable in this world, even the ends, the pleasures are enjoyable in heaven also. Unfortunately, we have no clue of what are the heavenly pleasures. If we knew what are the heavenly pleasures, definitely we would have had a passion for heavenly pleasures. We are not exposed to Karmakanda. We really do not know the descriptions. The tourism promotion done by the way Karmakanda, we do not know. Therefore, we escaped. We do not have any passion for heavenly pleasures because we do not know. Whereas, anyway, here Shastram says, a mature individual will grow naturally, effortlessly, how a leaf or a flower from the tree, when it becomes old, old leaf, which was green in color in spring and becomes yellow in color in autumn, and in some winter it becomes very dry and then it falls. Similarly, here also, the mature individual who has discriminative understanding naturally grows out of desire for all forms of Arthakama dharmas accomplishable in this world naturally grows out of desire for even the heavenly pleasures and higher positions described in the Shastram. And his only passion is for Jnanam. In Tamil, Patratran Patrinai Patriyavan Ahiran. He becomes dispassionate. And once he has Vairagyam, and the Shastram also emphasizes there are sixfold discipline, and even those disciplines are also said to be wealth of sixfold disciplines. Shama Adi Shatka Sampatti. Shatkam, a set of sixfold disciplines, but also wealth. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. Shamaha is a masculine gender word. Shantihi is a feminine noun. Same words. Shamaha, Shantihi, Damaha, Dantihi, Uparamaha, Uparatihi. Shamaha is a discipline, specifically taking care of the mind, mental discipline, how my mind should be. No, specifically taking care of mental purification. And the Shamaha is an important discipline, mental discipline. How the mind should be. Then Damaha is sensory discipline. Sense organs, how much they must be indulged in the perception and knowing things, enjoying things, and organs of actions, how much they be, how much, when, how they should be, in which activities they should be involved. So karma, jnana, indriya, damaha, dantihi. Having mastery over one's sense organs and organs of actions. Damaha. Shamaha, mastery over one's thinking, one's ways of thinking, the thoughts. Uparatihi or uparamaha means withdrawing oneself from all unnecessary, unwanted activities by focusing one in one's own duties. Swakarma anushtanam, swadharma anushtanam eva uparatihi. If you are very clear about your priorities and your duties, your time and mind attention will be available only for your own duties. And your mind and time will not be available for anything else. That is called uparatihi. Withdrawing oneself consciously from everything unnecessary, unwanted, in order to be focused in one's own duties, is called uparamaha or uparatihi, third discipline. And the fourth discipline, shamaha, damaha, titiksha. Titiksha is actually forbearance, endurance, tolerance. It's a great discipline because always consciously remaining equanimous, maintaining one's mental equanimity in all situations. When a person goes through desirable, undesirable situations, pleasant, unpleasant situations, always remaining the same mentally, taking care of mental equanimity. Samatvam is what? Titiksha. Titiksha and Shraddha. Shraddha is having unflinching faith in the words of the Vedanta Shastram as a Pramanam. Shastra Pramanye Astikya Buddhihi. See, if a person does not have Shraddha in the Shastram, one cannot operate the Shastram as a Pramanam. And without operating the Shastram as a Pramanam, there's no way of attaining the knowledge. No way of understanding even the Purushartha. There's no way of understanding the value of Dharma. There's no way of living a life of Dharma. There's no way of getting out of samsara. So Titiksha, Shraddha is a very important discipline. Because just having the unflinching faith in the words of the Shastram, the teacher, Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu Shraddha. Again, I'm not emphasizing the word Guru because people have their own understanding of the word Guru. Here, if the Guru, if he can, he or she can communicate the subject matter of the Vedanta Shastram, and always the teaching, if the teaching is not, does teaching does not contradict your reasoning, and you have to discover a guru in a person. No teacher can say, I'm a guru. No son can say, this is my guru. It's a very highly beautiful relationship. One has to discover a guru in a person only through, only being exposed to the teaching. Therefore, the Shraddha in the word, the Guru can be considered a Guru only if the Guru, what the Guru speaks is only Shastram. The Shastram should be flowing through the mouth of the teacher. Only then he can be called a Guru. He or she can be called a Guru. Therefore, Shastram alone in a mobile form is called a Guru. So faith must be in the Shastram. Shastram. Faith in the Shastram is Shraddha. Then finally, Samadhanam. Samadhanam, Chitta Samadhanam means being focused. Having focus in one's life. Having focus in one's life means having definite understanding of the ultimate goal of life being moksha in the form of the attainment of the knowledge of the truth. Not losing sight of the goal of life. Even though we have to involve ourselves in so many activities. Because living this life, because earning one's livelihood, eating food, water, shelter, and other family needs, we have to fulfill. They are very important. In fulfilling one's duties, in doing one's own activities, it is very natural for one to get lost. It is possible for one to forget one's purpose of living this life. Whatever duties you are doing, whatever responsibilities you are fulfilling, whatever activities you are involved in, always not forgetting the purpose of one living this life, being conscious of one's goal. I am doing all this ultimately for my own moksha in the form of knowledge of the truth. The life is lived ultimately for Bhagavan, discovering Bhagavan in the form of truth as myself. If that focus, not forgetting this, is not losing sight of one's goal, is called being focused, having focused attention, which is said to be Samadhanam. Okay, these are the sixfold qualifications. Shastram only mentions these qualifications. Vedanta Shastram does not teach us how to attain these qualifications. Especially this discipline, sixfold disciplines. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, the way of life is prescribed. I repeatedly say this always. Karma Yogaha. Living a life of karma yoga means converting all one's activities, including one's sneezing. Every small action you do must be converted into a preparatory discipline, a yoga, as yoga. And that is possible only if a Purusharth Nischeha is there, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is there, then commitment to live a life of values is there, and for which one must be desperately prayerful, intensely, fervently prayerful to Bhagavan, always thankful to Bhagavan for all that one is blessed with. One must be prayerful to Bhagavan, seeking always Bhagavan's grace for the strength to be able to live a life of values. So karma yogaha, and the proper attitude one entertains in one's activities and the results of activity, results of actions, all these things will contribute for having these disciplines. So these disciplines are there. And fourth discipline mentioned is mumukshutvam. The word mumukshutvam means a noun. Having the mumuk, being, enjoying the status of being a mumukshuhu. Enjoying the status of being a mumukshuhu is known as mumukshutvam. It means one must become a mumukshuhu. Being a mumukshuhu is an important qualification. Who is a mumukshuhu? Mumukshuhu is adjective. One who has mumuksha is mumukshuhu. Mumuksha, one who has mumuksha is mumukshuhu. Mumuksha means desire for freedom. The person who has desire for freedom is mumukshuhu. It's a desiderative word, which means moktum icha mumuksha. Moktum, to be free. Icha, desire. Moktum icha mumuksha. Desire for freedom. Desire to be free. Moktum, to be free. Icha, desire. Moktum icha, desire to be free, is mumuksha. And the person who has desire to be free, desire for freedom, is mumukshuhu. And being a mumukshuhu itself is one of the qualifications known as mumukshutvam. I want to discover my own swarupam. I want to discover my swarupam. This burning urge, thirst for discovering one's own real nature, being freedom, is desire for freedom. Therefore, as a qualification is important. So Shastram definitely prescribes these fourfold qualifications are very important. First of all, for a person to enter into the study of the Upanishads and to understand the teaching with the focused attention, again to dwell upon the teaching to resolve the doubts, again to assimilate the teaching in order not to forget, definitely one must have these qualifications. This is how Shastram prescribes. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear, karma kanda disciplines have to be followed in order to become qualified for the attainment of knowledge. In order to earn these fourfold qualifications, the fourfold qualifications can be reduced to two sentences, two words, as antahkarna shuddhi, antahkarna naischalyam. Adequate mental purification and mental steadiness. Therefore, karma kandaha, what karma can do, what karma cannot do. Whether it is a mundane day-to-day activities, for one's own livelihood, earning one's livelihood, or it is social service activities for the welfare of others, or the religious disciplines, or the performance of ritual practice of meditation, whatever is the karma. Karma is time bound. Karma can only produce time bound result. Karma can never produce moksha. Moksha has nothing to do with the karma. Therefore, karma is performed only for earning these fourfold qualifications in terms of antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischalyam. This is the advantage of karma. What is the limitation of karma? Karma cannot free one from bondage. We must know the limitation, we must know the advantage also. Therefore, once karma contributes for mental preparation, the qualified minded person can go through the next discipline called Jnana Yoga, involving Shravanam Mananam Nidhyasanam. Thereby one can attain Jnanam, which is Moksha. In fact, what is needed for Moksha is only Jnanam. Mere knowledge itself is the means of the attainment of Moksha. Karma cannot be, need not be combined at all with the Jnanam for the attainment of Moksha. This is the clear vision of Shankara Bhagavad Pada. This is the clear vision of not only Shankara Bhagavad Pada, even other acharyas who come in the sampradaya. This vision of this fact has been there timelessly. Always vision is of the fact. The fact is always a timeless one. So with this understanding alone, he wants to write his commentary. He assumes that we all have this much understanding. Therefore, his first opening sentence, Idanim. The opening sentence beginning with the word Idanim, only for the Sambandha Bhasham, I'm going to give this much introduction. We'll be reading fast and going ahead fast. Okay. And the first sentence we saw, Idanim karma upadana hetu pariharaya brahma vidya prastuyate. We only saw yesterday only one sentence. In your book, first book, page number 14. Idanim. The Idanim is a very important word. Why? Now. Shankara writes, now. After having clearly presented the difference between the two shastrams of the Veda, and having understood the advantage of Karmakanda, having under the limitation of Karmakanda, now. Okay? Now. That now, we reveal so much. Now. Brahma Vidya Prastuyate. Knowledge of the reality is, pursuit of the knowledge of reality is begun for the removal of cause of karma. For the removal of cause of karma means, I told you, karma hetu pariharaya. Karma hetuhu is kamaha. Why? How do you say kama is the karma hetuhu? Kama, desire is the cause of the action. Because desire alone pravartayati, pravartakatvat. Due to its nature of being due to its nature of being the prompting one. Because karma, desire alone prompts the action. Therefore, action cannot be given up easily because desires are natural. Actions are also naturally prompted. And the actions performed, maximum we can only manage the desires by strictly following the values. We can try to avoid some desires which prompt us to do wrong actions. But we cannot totally avoid all the actions. Again, our natural needs are also prompting, you know, due to actions. Therefore, actions have to be performed. And actions definitely will produce phalam. And the phalam has to be exhausted, for which, you know, the karma will always be there. Karma phalam will be there. And for exhausting the karma phalam, the birth is inevitable. Therefore, bondage is continuous. And for freeing ourselves from this bondage of karma, knowledge is the only means. Because only in the wake of the knowledge of the self, being identical with the Brahman, when the error in the perception of the self is corrected, then the sense of insufficiency, incompleteness centered on I will be resolved. Then the inadequacy caused fundamental desire, I want to live long happily, will resolve. Thereby all the desires will naturally resolve. That is how one can remain without doing any action. Actionlessness is in fact knowledge. Non-performance of action is not knowledge. Actionlessness, inaction is not actionlessness. Here, actually, actionlessness is the nature of the Atma. Therefore, freeing oneself from the wrong notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer alone, is freedom from bondage. Therefore, Karbrahma Vidya Prastuyate, it is started here. Okay. Then, and Shankara continues. Apta Kama, page number 15. Apta Kama Nam Hi Kama Abhave Swatmani Avasthanat Pravruttihi Anupapattihi. And he says, Pra Anupapattihi means there is impossibility. Upapattihi means possibility. Being tenable is called Upapattihi. Being untenable is called Anupapattihi. There is impossibility of involvement in activities. Pravrutti Anupapattihi means, Pravruttihi means activities. Pravruttihi means activity. Pravruttihi Anupapattihi the anupapattihi means impossibility of activities. When will the karma be impossible? Actions are impossible. Actions are not at all possible for a wise person. Which means actions, no wise person can perform action with the notion I am the doer. When a person performs action without the notion I am the doer, that's called what? Actionlessness. Therefore, it's impossible for a wise person to have activities. When is it possible? He says, Swatmani Avasthanat. As I told you, Swatmani Avasthanam is very important expression. We must know. Avasthanam. Sthanam means a place. Avasthana means abidance. Avasthanam means abiding or abidance. Swatmani is a locative case. Swatmani, swatmani, in one's own self. Swatmani avasthanam means abidance in one's own self. Only when there is abidance in one's own self, there is impossibility of activities, which means one can remain without performing actions. One can remain without performing actions only when a person abides in one's own self. When a person has abidance in one's own self, then one can remain without doing any actions. Until then, one cannot escape doing actions. Everyone has to do actions. Only in the wake of the knowledge of one's own self, being pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, in having resolved one's identity with the Atma, when a person abides in one's own self, then no activities are possible. How do you say, when there is abidance in one's own self, no activities are possible? How do you say that? Shankaracharya writes, kama abhave. Kama abhavaha means due to when all the desires are resolved. Kama abhavaha means absence of desires, which means kama abhavaha, absence of desires. Kamanam abhave, when the desires are absent, which means when the desires, all the desires resolve. When do the desires resolve? In the wake of the knowledge of one's own self being Atma, the consciousness, when a person has abidance in one's own self, all the desires resolve. When all the desires resolve, activities are also not prompted. Desire must be there to prompt the action. When the desires resolve, activities are also resolved. Activities are not possible. Okay. Who are the people for whom all the desires resolve? Shankaracharya writes, apta kamanam. Apta kamanam. Shankara calls a wise person as an apta kamaha. Apta kamaha. Yella asegalayum orunge nirevetriyavan is called apta kamaha. Apta kamaha means aptaha kamaha yena. Sarve kamaha yena. Saha apta kamaha. The person who has got all his desires fulfilled as it were simultaneously. The person who has got all his desires fulfilled as it were simultaneously. The person who has fulfilled all his pleasures as it were simultaneously. Such a person is said to be apta kamaha. Apta kamaha. And apta kamaha is the one who is the one who has got all his desires fulfilled simultaneously as it were. The one who has discovered fullness. The one who is free from sense of, now I have supply, okay? The person who is free from sense of inadequacy, insufficiency, incompleteness centered on I. The person who is free from the sense of incompleteness, inadequacy, insufficiency centered on I is the one who is said to be apta kamaha, the one who has fulfilled all his desires simultaneously, as it were. Next question comes. Who is the one who is free from sense of insufficiency, inadequacy centered on I? The person who has discovered one's own swarupam, jnani. So what does it mean? The person who has discovered one's own essential nature is the one who has discovered fullness, anandaha, as one's own swarupam. So the wise person, atma jnani, who has discovered one's own essential nature, being fullness, his own swarupam being fullness, when the wrong perception of the self is corrected, he is no more inadequate. Fullness and inadequacy cannot stay together. Anandaha, he is Anandaha himself. The wise person is, a jnani is, fullness, happiness himself. He is not full or happy. He is fullness himself. Because for him, fullness is an entity. Fullness is the substance. Fullness is the very substance of the substantive I. Fullness in terms of consciousness existence. Fullness in terms of consciousness existence is the substance of the substantive I. The wise person is the one who has claimed his fullness in terms of consciousness existence as one's own self, is naturally free from sense of inadequacy centered on I. Therefore, kama abhavaha, is that person is apta kamaha, being free from sense of inadequacy. He is apta kamaha, the one who has got, being free from sense of inadequacy itself, is as good as having fulfilled all one's desires. Having discovered fullness as one's own swarupam, being free from inadequacy itself, is as good as having all one's desires fulfilled simultaneously, as it were. And he is said to be apta kamaha. When a person becomes apta kamaha, then there are no more desires, kama abhavaha. When the kama abhavaha is not there, then when all the desires are effortlessly, naturally resolved because of the freedom from inadequacy, because self being fullness, then this person, not having cognitively, not having identity with the body, mind, sense complex, seeing one's own self being fullness, is said to be abidance in one's own self. Sva atmani avasthanam, just remaining one's own self. being one's own self is abundance in one's own self. And for such a person, the desire which prompts the action being not there, activities are not possible. Is it clear? Therefore, Shankaracharya says this much in this one sentence. Got it? Apta kamanam, for those people who have got all their desires fulfilled, for them, there are no desires, kama bhavaha. When there is absence of desires, then they are themselves. They abide in their own selves. When there is self-abidance, then there is no possibility of activities. Pravritti, pravritti nam anupapattihi. See, Sanskrit has its own way of presenting it. I have to little modify, change to make it clear for you. Is it clear? Okay. So what does he want to establish now? Knowledge is the only means for moksha. Action is not required for moksha. Karma or karma phalam is not required for moksha. Jnanam is the only means of moksha. Okay. Next. 17. Page number 17. One line. Is it clear now what I said? Okay. Next sentence. In page number 17, one sentence is there, Shankara's commentary. Atma kamatve apta kamata. See, atma kamaha. Let me understand, make it very clear first. The word kamaha means desire. You have to see, because it's all nouns. Kamaha means desire. Desire for the knowledge of the self is atma kamaha. Atma jnanaya kamaha. Atma kamaha. Atma jnanaya kamaha. Atma kamaha. Desire for the knowledge of the self is said to be desire for the self. Desire for the self is desire for one's own essential nature. Desire for one's own essential nature means desire for anandaha. Desire for happiness, desire for fullness, desire for anandaha is actually desire for the self. Desire for the self is actually desire for the knowledge of the self. So desire for the knowledge of the self will bless one with the knowledge of the self. When a person is blessed with the knowledge of the self, he is blessed with the knowledge of fullness. Being blessed with the knowledge of fullness is reveling in the vision of one's own nature being fullness. Reveling in the vision of one's own nature being fullness. Once you, as a wise person, when a person claims his nature, fullness as his own nature, in the wake of the knowledge of one's own essential nature being consciousness, the existence, naturally a person claims fullness, completeness, limitlessness as one's own nature. And claiming fullness as one's own nature, naturally, inadequacy resolves all the desires, become fulfilled as it were, all the pleasures become enjoyed simultaneously as it were. And having all the desires fulfilled as it were is said to be apta kamata. Apta means attained. Kamaha means desire. Kamata is a noun. So having all the desires fulfilled, Shankaracharya makes it very clear. What do you mean by saying apta kamata? What do you mean by saying having the status of being the one having fulfilled all the desires fulfilled simultaneously? What does it mean? He says, desire for the self is actually desire for the knowledge of the self. And desire for the knowledge of the self is actually will result in the attainment of knowledge of the self. Attainment of knowledge of the self is actually attainment of fullness as one's own nature. Attainment of fullness as one's own nature is actually having all the desires fulfilled as it were. Okay, this much you need to know for these two words. Do you feel tired? Pujya Swamiji calls it intellectual tiredness, intellectual laziness or sluggishness. If you are not able to bear with this repeatedly what I'm saying, and Swamiji calls it intellectual laziness or sluggishness, which means we do not have adequate medha shakti. We must be able to stand this. Maybe you can need a break for 1 minute, but you have to come back and listen. That's what, okay? That's why we pray for medha shakti. Now we understand why we need medha shakti. Okay. Atma kamatve apta kamata. I finished explaining in English. Let me put it in Tamil very clearly. One word. பரம்பொருளை தன் சொரூபமாக உள்ள பரம்பொருளை பற்றிய அறிவிற்கான ஆசையில் அனைத்து ஆசைகளும் நிறைவேற்றப்பட்டவையாக ஆகின்றன. பரம்பொருளை பற்றிய அறிவிற்கான ஆசையில் அனைத்து ஆசைகளும் விருப்பங்களும் நிறைவேற்றப்படுதல். அதான் ஆப்த காமத்தா நவுன், அது நிறைவேற்றப்படுதல். ஓகே, ஐ டு நாட் நோ குஜராத்தி லாங்குவேஜ் கிருஷ்ணாஜி, சாரி. கன்னடத்தில் நான் சொல்ப ட்ரை மாடுபோது, ஆதரே பேட நிமக்கு சம்ஸ்கிருத்தினா அர்த்தம் ஆகுது நிமகே. Okay, I can try in Kannada, but I don't want, because Kannada people can understand Sanskritam very well. Also Gujarati people can understand Sanskritam very well, because they had lot of Sanskrit words. Okay. It's all in writing commentaries, one small word, so much the nouns are used. Why Shankaracharya is talking all these things? Because he is already proving why he has not yet started writing commentary. Before he starts writing his commentary, he only in one sentence his intention has been revealed. Why he wants to write Bhashyam. Why Brahma Vidya is now begun? Why is it begun? He explained. Now he continues. Now before that, we will wait. The karmakandis are going to come now, objecting. We'll wait for them. Okay, next sentence. Page number 18. Homework is increasing, okay? Page number, how many? 14, 15, 16, 17, now 18. You have 18, page number 18. Okay, homework. Now, I'll read one more sentence, then I can stop if you want a break. Atma cha Brahma. It's a thorough study. You will enjoy it. Once you go to the text, you will enjoy it. Very simple bhashyam. Only this particular introductory bhashyam is because it makes you think a lot. Okay. Now, next sentence. Okay. First he said, Atmaka, Apta Kamata, then Atma Kamaha. Now he's asking, what is Atma? How do you say, in the wake of knowledge of one's own self being fullness, one becomes free from sense of inadequacy centered on I, thereby all the desires become fulfilled as it were, thereby all the desires resolve, thereby one is not prompted to do karma, thereby one becomes free from karma also. Then there is no need for a wise person to do any karma. How do you say that? He is giving answer. Atma cha Brahma. On what basis do you say one's own essential nature is fullness? How do you say that? He says, Atma cha Brahma. Atma cha Brahma means Atma is Brahman. What is Atma? What is Brahma? The one and the only reality, the absolute reality of this entire universe is implied by the term Brahma. There's nothing which is as big as Brahma. Therefore, there's nothing cannot be which is bigger than Brahma. And it's the biggest in this universe is the reality which lends existence to this universe. And that reality is implied by the term Brahma. And that Brahman is of the nature of fullness. Reality is of the nature of fullness. And the same reality is the reality of every individual also. The reality of the ocean is the reality of the wave. Because wave is ocean. Therefore, reality of ocean, reality of the wave, one and the same. Similarly, reality of every individual is identical with the reality of the whole cosmos. So, the reality of the microcosmic being is the same reality of the macrocosmic being. Therefore, the one and the same reality. Therefore, fullness is the nature of Brahma. Atma is Brahma. Therefore, fullness is nature of the Atma. Is it clear? Brahman is of the nature of fullness. Atma is Brahma. Therefore, fullness is Brahma. Atma is Brahma. Therefore, fullness is Atma. Atma cha Brahma. And why two different words? Atma also means the reality which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Brahman also means the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, reality happens to be one and the same. And discovering one's own self is discovering the truth of the whole Brahma. And discovering the Brahman is discovery of fullness, anandaha. Tadvidaha. Next word. Tadvidaha. Tadvidaha means Atmavidaha. So, though Vidaha means the knowers. With singular, Vidaha plural. With means knower. Tadvid means one who knows that Brahman as one's own self. Tadvid means Adai Arindavan. Apparambarulai Tansurupmaha Arindavan. Tatvid means the one who knows that reality obtaining as one's own self. In plural, Tadvidaha, those people who discover that Brahman, the truth of the whole, as the truth of one's own self, the Atma, indeed, Parapraptim Vakshyati. So, Tadvidaha is also possessive case here. Sorry. Tatvid singular, Tadvidaha plural. But Tadvidaha singular also, possessive case also same. Vidaha. For the one who knows the self, Tadvidaha apparambarulai tan atma surupmaha arindavanukku. Tadvidaha, for the person who has discovered that Brahman as one's own self, for him, now Upanishad is going to say, Vakshyati is going to say, Parapraptim Mokshate Sollapohiradu. For the person who has discovered that reality obtaining as one's own self, for him Mokshaha Parapraptihi, attainment of the absolute. Parapraptihi means attain, praptihi means attainment. Param means absolute. Paraprapti means attainment of the absolute end, attainment of the infinite end, attainment of mokshaha. Attainment of mokshaha is said to be for the person who has discovered that Brahman as one's own self. And Upanishad is going to discuss this later on in the second chapter, Vakshyati. ஞானத்தை உடையவனுக்கு மோட்சத்தை அடைதலை உபயோக சொல்ல போகிறது பின்னால். உபனிஷத் செகண்ட் சாப்டர் இஸ் கோயிங் டு டிஸ்கஸ் தி அட்டைன்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் தி இன்ஃபினிட்டி அண்ட் மோக்ஷா ஃபார் தி பர்சன் ஹூ நோஸ் தி செல்ஃப். சோ வாட் தேர் ஃபோர் நோ சங்கராச்சாரியா ப்ரூவ்ஸ் நோ அத்தஹா நெக்ஸ்ட் சென்டென்ஸ் அத்தஹா தேர் ஃபோர் Ataha is an indeclinable word, which means therefore, adanal, avidya nivruttau. In eliminating ignorance, avidya nivruttau, in eliminating ignorance, ariyamai nikkuvadil, in eliminating ignorance, swatmani avasthanam paraprapthihi. Beautiful. Therefore, in the wake of the knowledge of the self, when the ignorance is eliminated, one gives up one's identity cognitively with the body, mind, sense complex. Then, what is abiding in one's own self is called attainment of moksha. Attainment of the absolute end, attainment of the infinite. What is attainment of moksha? What is attainment of absolute end or infinite end? Paraprapti means what? Abidance in one's own self itself is attainment of the infinite end. Swatmani avasthanam paraprapti. Tan tanaha iruttale moksha. What is paraprapti? What is the accomplishment of the infinite end, absolute end? Swatmani avasthanam, abidance in one's own self is said to be the attainment of the fullness, the infinite end. And when does it happen? When the ignorance is removed. avidya nivruttau, when the ignorance is resolved, then when there is abundance in one's own self, that abundance in one's own self is attainment of fullness, which is attainment of moksha, infinite end. Is it clear? So what do you want for moksha? Jnanam only. You must say only. Not karma. Okay. Now I'm stopping here. Now you have enough homework. Okay. Read all the pages. Now I have finished. Now you can read page number 20. Okay. Okay, you have to read until page number 21. No, not 21. Only until 20. Okay. Now, Shankaracharya is now having is cleared, made very clear why jnanam alone is paraprapti. He made very clear. But now, Pura Pakshi is coming, running to stop him from writing. Okay. So Pura Pakshi's view is going to come in page number 22 and 26. 22 and 26. You have seen two lines. These two lines are two different views of two groups of Pura Mimamsakas. Page number 22 has first Pura Paksha.
Couple of questions, Swamini.
Yes,
please. Vakshati. Vakshati, is it from Vacha?
Yeah, yeah. Vakshati means will speak. Upanishad will speak means Upanishad is going to state in later on, second chapter of the Upanishad, that parapra attainment of moksha. For whom? For whom will Upanishad say, state moksha? Upanishad will state moksha for the person who knows the self. For the knower of the self. See, tadvidaha means what? Atmavidaha. Atmavidaha, vidaha is a possessive case, singular possessive case. With atmavidaha. See, nominative plural also vidaha. And possessive case singular also vidaha. For Atmavidaha, for the person who knows the self, attainment of moksha, Upanishad is going to state in the second chapter.
Okay.
Now because Shankaracharya writes a commentary in the introductory bhashyam. He cannot say nub itself. He's telling us, wait, when you go to second chapter, you will understand how Upanishad is going to say.
Okay, Swami. What is Anupapattihi?
That's a noun. See, upapattihi means tenability. Noun. Anupapattihi, non-tenability. I said impossibility. See, the Sanskritam nouns are different. When you put it in English, I tried my best to change. You can see how Swamiji has completely changed. I tried my best to put in Sanskrit so that you can understand that. So noun, upapattihi, possibility, tenability. Anupapattihi, untenability, non-tenability. Being non-tenable, being not possible.
What about pravruti? Pravruti anupattihi, anupapattihi.
See, pravruttihi means activity. I told you, listen, pravruttihi is a noun. Pravruttihi, activity. Pravartate, acts. Pravartayati, activates, prompts. Pravartate, seihiradu, erpaduhiradu. Pravartayati, erpaduthiradu. Pravartakam, erpaduthuvadu. Pravartate means happens. Pravartayati, causes, prompts. Pravartakam, that which prompts, that which causes. Pravruttihi, noun. Pravruttihi, activity. Got it?
That's good. Thank you.
Pravritti anupapatti is a compound word. Pravritti nam anupapatti, impossibility of activities, non-tenability of activities. Activities are not tenable. Not possible for a wise person. See, I can make a Sanskrit class again. Where we will lose sight of the because Upanishad class, I don't want to do it.
Sorry, you mentioned actionless is the nature of Atma.
Yes.
And also actionless is not, I didn't get that bit.
No. Actionlessness is the nature of the Atma.
Yeah.
Naishkarmyam, actionlessness is the nature of the Atma. What does it mean? Atma has no will. Atma does not do any action. Atma does not move. Motionlessness, actionlessness, silence is the nature of the Atma. Okay. But therefore, when you say non-performance is not actionlessness.
Thank you, Swami Yama.
Somebody asked me in the class yesterday. No? Okay, you say, somebody asked me this question yesterday. Pratishiddha karma, performing a pratishiddha karma, and I told them, no action is performed, no punyam or papam. That's true. The logically correct. If an action is not performed, a non-performed action cannot produce punyam or papam. Why? Action not performed is what? Absence of action. So from a non-existent action, how can a result come, existent result come? Logic doesn't accept. Therefore, Shastram does not say, if a person does not do any karma, punyam or papam, definitely it will not produce punyam. If the person does not do any action, there will not be punyam or papam. But the person does the right action, punyam. Wrong action, papam. No action, no punya papam. I said. Then he asked me, okay, not paying tax. He took the not paying tax as the inaction. No. Not paying tax is a wrong action. Papa karma. It is not right. It's not inaction. He mistook the not paying the tax as inaction. No. Not paying tax is not non-action. It is a wrong action. Got it? Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.